of GATS.
Yeah, let me introduce Matt Hennessy, president of GATS. They do flight instruction on Manhattan Regional Airport. And Matt has so kindly agreed to come talk to the board, give a 5-10 minute update on his business on the field. So I'll turn it over to Matt.
Thanks, sir.
Yep.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the board. My name is Matt Hennessy. I own GATS Flight School on the field. Some history of the flight school. We started training out here at the airport about 1997. We were located in the old airport administration, the green building right by Heartland Aviation, for about 16 years. And then after about 16 years, we left that building and went up to Vanesta, where we sat for about a decade, right in between the Avalon Nail Salon and Mr. K's restaurant. Sat there for about 10 years. And then about a year ago, we moved into the community house downtown. We moved office facilities off of that. We've been conducting flight training out at the airport since, like I said, 1997. I bought and took over GATS in 2017. I was working for them as an instructor for a couple years prior to that, and they saw potential in me and carried on the legacy. Currently, we have been, like I said, in the downtown building for 1 year. GATS itself really only needs classroom and office space there at that facility. Obviously, our operations are out at the airport. To date, this year, we've had 32 students thus far for the year. We specialize in accelerated instrument training and accelerated commercial training. We do a 7-day instrument course and a 3-day commercial course. The large majority of our customers and clientele are actually not out of Manhattan. It's basically a rarity if we get anybody from Manhattan proper. We basically consider anyone from one state over basically in our backyard. We've got and have had students from pretty much every state. We used to do training for foreign pilots, but we kind of stopped doing that mostly because, complying with the back end stuff was kind of a nightmare, and jumping through the hoops for the one, maybe two gentlemen that we would get maybe every year or so. So we mostly focus on just students that are looking to get done with their training in a concise, consolidated manner because their life keeps getting in the way. The standard method of doing flight training for them doesn't work. They end up out in FBO land, meeting 1-2 times a week with an instructor. They end up taking one step forward and three steps backwards. Many of them had to repeat the written knowledge test multiple times because their instructor either goes on to the airline. Like I said, they end up taking one step forward and three steps backwards. So it's very attractive for them to come to our facility and our course and effectively be dead to the rest of the world, focus on the flight training, and then they leave here, hopefully, trained up, passed the check ride, and they can continue on their flying career. Most of the students are not on their way to the airlines per se. They're busy professionals. They have their own job that pays the bills and, brings the bread home to their family. So they're using flying as a way to satisfy their business or, instead of driving 4 hours across the mountains, they can just fly right across and, get there in an hour or whatnot. Currently, we have 3 full-time instructors right now, we're basically flying pretty much every day. The only times we shut down at the facility is Thanksgiving and Christmas time. Apart from that, we're functioning as long as the weather will allow us. When the heat's not too hot and the cold's not too cold, we're doing business out at Manhattan. So between myself and my 3 other instructors, it's pretty much a common thing to hear one of our voices bothering the tower, pumping those numbers up to keep the tower happy, keep the city happy, and hopefully the students that we bring in pretty much every week spend a bunch of money in the town, and everybody's happy at that point. So that's basically it for GATS. We currently book 30 to 45 days in advance. I have people all the way through October right now on our calendar, so business is chugging along, which is a good thing. That's kind of everything for GATS. I moved up here from Louisiana. I have a degree in professional aviation. I thought I was going to go the airline route or professional pilot route, but kind of fell into, fell in love with instructing prior to here, then got the job here, and then kind of never really realized I owned the business that's been around for 40 years. So I'm quite happy to be the steward of the legacy and look forward to continuing to support the airport and keeping the numbers happy, which keeps everybody happy and keeps you guys happy. And yeah, so if there's any questions, I would love to answer anything that you guys have. But otherwise, that's kind of Gats in a nutshell.
So how long is the course?
We have a couple different courses, man. We have a 7-day instrument course, which is 7 full working days, 9-to-5 style, with the 8th day being the check ride with a designated pilot examiner. We have a 3-day commercial course, 3 days of full training, and then the 4th day being the check ride with the examiner. We have a 5-day CFII course, which is an instrument instructor course. Same deal, 5 full days of training, 6th day being the check ride. I was in the process of expanding into the CFI initial prior to COVID, and then COVID hit, and that kind of put a kibosh on expanding. Had to focus on keeping the lights on and everybody afloat. So current docket would be in maybe in the next year or so, add a new course to the fold so that we can start training, you know, new instructors. And that's kind of our standard deal. We do not do any private pilot training or any primary flight training currently.
Okay, Bob, did you have a question?
Yes, I do, Karen. Matthew, how does your business activity compare with pre-pandemic?
It's obviously bounced back. Everyone is kind of hurting right now with the economy and, you know, everything kind of being high and expensive. Gas prices are pretty through the roof on the airport side, especially, you know, even with the car side too. We were fortunate enough to stay open throughout COVID. The problem that we ran into during COVID was the FAA shut down the written testing centers, and having the written testing or the written knowledge test done prior to the start of our course is one of our prerequisites. So when they shut that down, sir, it kind of put a freeze on all of our customers coming in. Most of our examiners that we use, we have relationships with 4 or 5 different examiners across Kansas City, Wichita, Salina. They're all mostly all kind of on the older side. So when peak COVID hit, they all shut down. And so it was kind of difficult to, get check rides done because the check ride is part of our course as well. It's one of the benefits to coming to our course. It's kind of a, you know, one package deal as opposed to getting the training done and then having to deal with scheduling and whatnot for, an examiner. So, but now that we're kind of through COVID, you know, business is picking back up. You know, we average, like I said, our bread and butter is probably the 7-day course. 80% of our students a year is the 7-day course. So, you know, we plan for, you know, about 40 to 45 students a year just on that alone due to the 52 weeks in the year type, you know, math. So, so far so good. Obviously could be much better, but you know, hopefully when the economy starts booming again, then everyone will have a whole bunch more discretionary income. And that'll mean, you know, I'll have to start telling people that we're well north of 45 days booked out. So that's currently as we sit right now, sir.
Brian, did you have a...
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, just a couple of questions.
Yes, sir.
Some to just let you help clarify the board. I'm familiar with GATS, but can you tell the board, like, how it works, like whether or not you maintain any aircraft or if customers bring their own?
Yes, sir. So the large majority of the customers end up providing their own aircraft. Part of our philosophy is we would like to do the training that in the aircraft or the equipment that they're likely going to be flying out in the real world. We mostly emphasize what we call real world IFR flying. You know, the written textbooks focus on the academic side of things, which, you know, they have their place, yes, but certain procedures and whatnot really aren't being done by someone who's out there flying in the real world, you know, all that. So we focus and streamline the training to focus on what you're going to run into in the real world. So ideally the customer brings their aircraft, their avionics, the ones they're going to be, you know, flying pretty regularly. If the customer needs us to source an aircraft, we have a couple aircraft that we have access to, a 172 Retract and a Beach Sierra is currently the two aircraft that the school can provide. Also, if those two aircraft are unavailable, we have relationships with a couple other flight schools throughout the Kansas, and sometimes they have airplanes that like to sit, and I'll use their aircraft, and yeah, it works out pretty good.
And then more on the just giving you a chance to let us know if there's any issues with the airport itself. Do you see any challenges or things that would help with your operations, or is everything going great? Or?
Honestly, so far so good. I don't really have any major complaints. The one slight thorn would be, I know we changed the security program a couple years ago. We did away with the walkthrough gate and whatnot. And most of our clientele that bring their own aircraft, they do like to have access to their aircraft. You know, they're kind of controlling type individuals. I spoke with the security gentleman out at the airport, and he explained the process. There's no real avenue for us to kind of have a temporary badge to let them go through. But as it sits now, we've just changed our policies a little bit to, you know, teach them, hey, if you need to get access to the airport, call the number on the walkthrough gate. Security will come by, write your information down. It just adds an extra of it, but we can all regale on the days of yesteryear when it was just as easy to punch a code through the walkthrough gate and call it good, but understand security needs have changed and whatnot. That's honestly the really only major gripe that I have, but it's a very minor one because most of our students are escorted by the instructor anyway, but it is kind of nice to just say, hey, or let me rephrase, it was very nice a few years ago to just say, hey, I know you need to leave out at 6:15 in the morning to get gone. Here's the code to get through the gate. You know, go get yourself taken care of now. Usually we have to get up super early in the morning.
Yeah.
So.
Of course, you'd run into that at any other larger field.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
The other question is just, you know, what are your plans for next year while the runway is shut down? Do you?
I'm still formulating a game plan. We've explored maybe moving our operations to Junction for the time being or to Forbes for the time being. Part of our course, we provide hangar usage for the customers that bring their own aircraft in. So obviously I would need to find another airport that would allow me temporary access to some hangars. If not, then I would have to suspend that kind of, you know, perk, if you will. But I anticipate, I think what, down for 3 or 4 months. So, right. So I'm hoping that, obviously the airlines will be a little more impacted than we are because we can operate on the other runway and we can also operate on the shortened runway. But obviously when the intersection is done on phase 3, that's basically going to ruin just about everything. But in the process of getting everything kind of figured out, kind of looking to temporary move, operations and, then as soon as the runways are back, keep those numbers up and keeping the tower happy. So,
how do you manage the hangar space issue at Manhattan?
How do you mean, sir?
Oh, like, what, is there an empty hangar you have?
We have two hangars that that I rent from the city, and with three instructors in town, we mostly focus on one-on-one flight training, so we don't have any more than 3 students at a time, or 2 at a time if they're sourcing their own aircraft. So, we would basically just, like I said, find a place, find a new home temporarily for 45 days, and then come on back home on day 46, assuming everything goes well.
Josh, nothing? No.
Nope. I believe Mr. Jacobs has something.
Mr. Jacobs.
Yeah, just a real quick question. What are your estimated costs for the 7-day instruction for your instrument? If I were to show up at your front door with me and my airplane in tow, kind of give me an idea of what it would cost to get my instrument.
Yes, sir. We would require at least 10 hours of instrument time done prior, finished prior to us starting the course. Obviously, the instrument written done as well. And then the total cost of the course is $6,850. That includes lodging while you're in town, vehicle usage while you're in town, and your check ride tuition, because part of the move that we did when we moved into the community house, there's 6 apartments that they added onto the front of that building. GATS as an entity controls 2. Our partner company, Turbine Training Center, who also shares the space, that's run by Jason Walcott. I bought and took over GATS from the Walcotts. Both companies are kind of, symbiotic and mutually beneficial. So he has 2 apartments. I have the 2 apartments. And so, obviously if you don't need lodging or a vehicle while you're in town, we can modulate the price just a little bit. But $6,850 is basically the package deal. You show up, you get all the training you need. If you need an extra day because the weather screws us, an extra 2 days because you get sick or the instructor gets sick, we try to do right by the customer in town. So,
plus probably a couple thousand more in gas these days.
Well, fortunately, if the client is providing their aircraft, that's going to be on them. For us, we have not modulated our pricing too terribly much to reflect the current gas prices, because it's going to go down eventually. You know, it's just kind of a waiting game. We were eating good a couple years, when the economy was booming and everything kind of ebbs and flows. We're still making profit, but, you know, I don't want to be one of these entities that seems to modulate their prices every 2 weeks, just, you know, based off the trends and whatnot.
Anyone else?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
We done? Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to address you guys. If you guys need anything, please don't hesitate to shoot us a call or shoot us an email or drop by and look at our new facility. We're at the Community House, 120 North 4th Street, Suite B. It's the go up the double doors up the top of the stairs. It used to be the gymnasium, but the gentleman that renovated the building basically made it completely, you know, brand spanking new, and it's a great new facility. So,
great. Thank you for taking
Thank you for allowing me to address y'all. You have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
That was helpful. Brandon, runway or project updates?
Yeah, getting close.
Oh, wait. I might announce that Mr. Reed is in the audience. Would you like to join us?
And I won't give it to you this point.
Thank you. All right, here we are with the runway reconstruction project. It's not showing. Looks like the PowerPoint.
Uh-oh.
Shut the screens down. Ah, there we go. Can everybody on Zoom see that also? See my PowerPoint? Okay, getting a couple head nods. So this is a project that we've been talking about for quite a few years, and here we are, really, really close to actually taking this to the commission and asking their approval to move forward with this reconstruction project. So a little history on the pavement. 1979 was the last rehab. Pavement far exceeds the useful life. The FAA determines the useful life of a pavement or a runway project of 20 years. Ours is over 43 years old. So it's definitely something that needs to occur. The pavement that's at the airfield has done a great job. It's seen this community grow substantially. And hopefully with this new runway, it'll last us another 20, 30, or potentially 40 years. So this is a very long process that started way back in 2018. And we started working with the FAA and doing a master plan update that was started in July of 2018 and then completed in October of 2020. Following the master plan, we then moved into the runway design, and that was just looking at the pavement and the best way possible of moving forward and doing this construction project. That started in April of 2020 and was completed about a year and a half later at the beginning of this year in April of 2022. Once that was completed, we moved into the construction phase. This is what we're getting ready to start. An RFP was issued in May of 2022. We had a bid opening of June 21st of this year. And then now we're looking for an award through the commission on August 16th of this year. A little bit about the project layout. I know you guys have seen this all before, but I'm going to continue to show it throughout the whole entire construction process. We're going to rubblize the existing concrete, reconstruct the intersections. That's runway 1331, all of our connecting taxiways. And then taxiway delta will be removed. The reason for taxiway delta being removed is a design standard change that the FAA has, because it provides direct access from the primary runway into the ramp. And that is one thing that the FAA does not like. And so that's why that taxiway delta will be removed. We'll also be replacing the lights, signs, doing a little bit of nav aid work for the primary runway, and then performing any grading that's necessary. The project will be done in four different phases, with the first phase occurring in September, if awarded and approved by the commission of this year, and that'll go until March 23. The main focus of this is just grading work, allowing the contractor to get some of their construction materials, and then doing some tree removal and some site grading outside of the runway safety area. During this phase, the airport will continue to be open. Phase two is split into two subsections, Phase A and Phase B. Phase A is a 3-day closure, and the reason for that closure is to allow the contractor time to put in a temporary threshold, which will continue to allow the airport to be open and also allow the airline to operate during Phase 2A. Once Phase 2A is complete after that 3 days, March 29th, the temporary threshold will be in place and the primary runway will be reduced from 7,000 feet to 5,800 feet. That was the minimum through our meetings that we've had with the airline throughout this whole entire process of what they could operate. So we wanted to make sure that we included that in this construction process. That project or that phase goes until May 12th. With the first official airfield closure occurring on May 12th through July 19th, as Matt had mentioned, the construction is going to start on the runway 2 approach end, which is over by here on Alpha and Foxtrot, and the construction contractor is going to work down the field until they get to the approach of runway 3. During this phase, they'll be doing the majority of the intersection work, and unfortunately, both of our runways will have to be closed. It's roughly 44 days that this is closed. However, the airport is not closed. So even though the runways are closed, the airspace will still be open. So we will be getting some folks that will be coming into the airspace, potentially doing low approach work, things of that nature. And also helicopter operations will continue to operate out of Manhattan Regional Airport when this phase is occurring.
Yep.
Can you clarify, you say 44 days, but May 12th to July 19th is about 60 days, so is the closure date different than those dates, or?
Oh, I actually had it backwards. Sorry, I had the phases backwards. Yes, you're right, that is 60 days, and then the fourth phase is 44 days. So the total closure time for runway 0321 is roughly 108, 109 days, a little bit over 3 months. The Crosswind runway will be shut down for roughly 2 months. Sorry about that. Appreciate the clarification, bringing that up. Following phase three, the final phase of construction will be phase four, and that'll occur from July 19th to August 31st, 44 days roughly, if my math's right. Our Crosswind runway will be open, so a lot of our general aviation, private, and some of our smaller charters will continue to operate throughout this phase. Unfortunately, the airline will still be shut down because they won't be able to land and operate on our Crosswind runway. And then following that, August 31st, the airfield will be open on September 1. And so here's basically those different phases labeled out. So you can see phase one, no impacts to daily operations. Phase 2A, the airfield will be closed. The airport will still be open roughly for those 3 days. Phase 2B, the primary runway will be reduced in length to the 5,800 by 150 feet width. The airline will continue to operate, so will the majority of our operations. Phase three, runway intersection work. Unfortunately, during that time, the airfield, the backside of the house will be closed. And then phase four, the Crosswind runway will be open, but the primary runway will be closed. And completion on September 1st, 2023. Any questions on scheduling before I get into the actual cost of the project?
Anybody? Nope.
So in the design phase, once it was determined the best route to move forward with what type of construction we were going to do, and the type of pavement that we were going to put down, we started looking at getting estimates for what it would actually cost. And so in July of 2021, we received an estimate from Olson Associates, who is the contractor that we're using to oversee the design project. And they did an evaluation of the construction, the timeline, and the materials that are used. And at that time, it was looking at roughly $47 million is what it was going to cost to do this project. Also during those discussions, it was determined through the FAA that the FAA would not fund the full 150-foot width. I know you're all very aware of that whole entire process. And so you can see in here that there's quite a substantial amount that was considered AIP or Airport Improvement Program ineligible, which means the FAA won't participate in that amount. So the FAA funds at that was looking at roughly $36 million, and the local share from the city was close to $11 million. So a few of the things that we started working off right off the bat was when we saw that, was try to bring that local share amount down, but also give us a product, a runway that's going to sustain and last for another 30, 40 years, like the one that's currently out there. So the first big push that we started looking at was some of the design standards that the FAA was putting on us for this runway. And one of the things that got brought up is, well, why can't we pour concrete right on the rubblized base, use that as a base, not have a filler, and then pour the concrete on top of that? And so Olson Engineering in the airport created a plan, went back, looked at it. Everything looked to meet all the FAA's demands. And so we presented that to the FAA. The FAA took a really hard look at it and said, you're right, we could do that in certain spots. That got kicked up to FAA headquarters in DC and was ultimately approved. What that did was that reduced the total cost of the construction project by $7 million, substantial amount of money. And we're still going to have that useful life of pavement. We're still going to have the same PCN numbers that we would have got through the other way. And the runway will still be able to support heavy operations through our charters. That was the first one. The second one was trying to find a way to help pay for that additional 50 feet to keep our runway dimensions the same length or same width. And so an opportunity came about that we were able to apply for the Defense Community Infrastructure Program grant, or DCIP, and we were successful in one of the first airports that has ever been awarded through this program a grant. And that DCIP will cover that additional 50 feet to keep our dimensions the same, which significantly pulled down that local share amount. We had Olson perform another estimate in January of 2022, so roughly 6 months later. Of course, inflation is starting to ramp up, so you don't realize all of those costs, but you can see that based on that MOS, and that DCIP grant that we received, the total cost of the project went from roughly $47, $48 million down to $44 million. And now when we factored in DCIP help paying for those ineligible items, it brought the local share from close to $11 million to $4.3, substantial decrease. In June of 21 of this year, we went out, or maybe we took it out to bid. In June, we had the bid opening. We ended up receiving 6 bids, which was amazing. To have that type of support for a project of this size, especially right now with all the challenges that are going on in construction. 5 of the 6 bids were below the engineer's estimate. I literally about jumped out of the seat when I started hearing some of those being read, because of course, you know, the fear was that the cost with inflation, that everything was going to continue to go up. Clarkson Construction, out of Kansas City, Missouri, a very, very large construction company that has the capability to do this project, came in at the lowest bid, roughly $16 million, or 38% less than the engineer's estimate. So the total project cost, as it sets right now, is roughly $31 million for construction, DCIP paying for those ineligible items, and the local share is down to $3.1 million. Any questions?
Good job.
Thank you. That concludes my runway PowerPoint presentation. I just want to give it to you guys before I gave it to the City Commission, which I'll be taking that next Tuesday night. And one item that I do request is that if you guys support this project, support these amounts moving forward with it, I would love to have your support so I can share it with the commissioners.
Thank you, Brandon. Go ahead. Bob, did you have a question?
Yep, I have a question for Brandon. Brandon, after you go to the commission, will this summary overview of the project be posted on the city web page?
Yeah, so anytime that we present, isn't everything put up on the city's website?
Yes, there'll be a link through the city's agenda for next Tuesday where it will access this PowerPoint.
Very good, thanks.
Anyone else?
All right. Left you all speechless, thank you. Hopefully Tuesday's goes that well.
Well, thank you for the presentation. How about our sign? Is it fixed?
The pylon sign? Yes. Yeah, from the 13th windstorm that we've had in the past 8-9 months, yes, it is fixed.
I don't know if you wanted to entertain a resolution now for... Yeah. I guess I'd like to move that the board recommend approval to the City Commission of the
construction
bid as proposed by the airport administration.
Thank you, Brian. Do we have a second?
Second.
Do we have 2 seconds?
2 seconds.
Roger and Joe. Who else is second?
Roger's older.
Okay. Okay, are there further comments about the presentation or the motion made? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Those opposed? None. Okay, so it's unanimously supported.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're excited to come in under on something that's...
Yeah, it's definitely been a long process to get here, and it's nice to finally see that it's going to occur, and then it's also going to occur at a rate that's a little bit more palatable for the community and for the airport. I mean, it is unfortunate that we...
Who do we acknowledge for writing the grant?
What's that?
Well, somebody had to write the grant. Was that Kim? Our assistant? Thank you.
And we hope to hear from the FAA this week. I mean, the grant amount has already been announced, and so we know it's coming, but we hope to actually have the grant letter by the end of this week. That's based with our conversations that we've been having with the FAA, that it will be coming here within the next few days. So.
Now, how many hours did you put in on that, Kim?
It's a process.
4 years is probably a lot.
Yeah.
So.
I have a question.
Carl Reed?
I would assume that we would use maybe a different engineer for the next estimate. We could do something with their... Somebody's got the pocket filled, we do something off.
Oh, this has made us feel so good. Why would we?
I mean,
that
way, but it tends to be the thing when something's wrong here.
Yeah, there's been a lot of behind the scenes discussions, and one of the big drivers, what I think that drove the cost and the bidding down, was that we've been talking about this project for roughly 4 years, and so we've been getting the word out to these regional construction companies that are capable of performing this work, and then also having a mandatory pre-bid meeting, getting everybody in the room to see which different contract or construction companies would potentially bid, has also helped. Also doing a tour, working with the FAA to bring down that bid holding date. I mean, there's just been so many different pieces that I think help contribute to ultimately getting that lower price. I was a little bit shocked. I think there's obviously a luck piece that played into that, because I was expecting a tad bit higher, but I was also expecting that we could potentially have maybe one or two bids that was below that engineer's estimate. So.
Yeah, and to remind from last month as well, a big portion that they mentioned with the difference was they had figured in trucking all of the aggregate from like Arkansas. And
yep.
So just transportation material was a huge savings.
Estimate.
Yeah, the engineering.
So,
because they didn't think the proper FAA-approved aggregate would be available close, but it turns out more than one of the
bids respondents found. Yeah, there was roughly three of the construction companies found a yard basically in Missouri that should be able to meet those FAA standards for the concrete. And so that played also a substantial role in bringing down the cost. The other part that I think it's worth mentioning is because this construction, actual pavement construction, isn't until next year, that this is an opportunity for a lot of large companies to get something on the books that potentially they might not have work scheduled for that far out. So I think it was tons and tons of different things that played into this amount being lower, and it's great to see, especially in a time where everything right now is costing so much more money.
Any other comments? Do we have anything from Fort? Nothing from the Fort?
No, there's no real update. When the guys went out to NTC, they flew out of Forbes, obviously. So as they fly back in, based on the operational readiness requirements that Forcecom headquarters is going to impose on them before they're allowed to leave Fort Riley, we're probably going to be seeing larger aircraft moving, you know, more soldiers at once. So I'm anticipating all of the flights coming back in through Forbes again as they return home.
Does anybody have any questions?
Other than that, that's, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that's the really the only update. There's still nothing else sitting out there that we can see. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, I'll just give you a quick update on air service numbers. Mary sent the numbers out Friday. You can see that we had pretty strong numbers for July. Whole summer has been doing really well. Travel is up. Our load factors are up substantially. Love to see those in the 80s, 80%. So for air service, everything is going well. For the general aviation side, you also see the numbers there. And Matt talked a little bit about it. There's quite a lot of folks that have been flying on the field, a lot of different tower activity going on right now. Nicer weather is definitely bringing in a bunch of folks and increasing the activity. That's all I have.
Anybody have any questions or